Hello, friends. Welcome back to another off-the-cuff chat with me, FPL Mez. This is episode 13, and in today's episode, I have a very special guest, Andrew, FPL underscore Point Break from the FPL SideNet podcast, and we talk all things game week 12, including Andrew's wildcard. It's a bit of a long one, so grab your drinks and snacks, go for a walk, and enjoy the episode. Very long international break. I'm so glad it's over. Although I did enjoy the break a fair bit. I'm so glad it's over. It's game week 12. There's so much going on. I've not been paying that much attention to FPL, but I'm hoping that my guest today has been paying a bit more attention to FPL and will be able to help me out. So game week 12, I've got a very special guest on. It's Andrew, so FPL underscore Point Break on Twitter, not on Blue Sky just yet. But Andrew is the second half of the FPL SideNet podcast, one of my favorite podcasts that I've mentioned plenty of times on my streams. And I couldn't believe it when Andrew mentioned that I'm having him on for the first time. So Andrew, making your debut episode with me, and yeah, first time coming on the show, really, really pleased to have you. How are you?
I'm great, thanks, Mira. I'm really excited to be on. I love watching your off the cuff series. So I'm really buzzing to be on tonight.
Nice. I'm so glad that you're able to come on. Really lovely to have you. And we've got a whole bunch of people in the chat as well. So I'm just going to say a quick shout out to everyone that has joined us this evening. This time I was able to, I don't know what you call it. Like, if you're popping up a message on Blue Sky, like, you can't call it a tweet, right? So what are we calling it? I have no idea. I haven't worked out what to call it. It's just a post. Post, I guess. But no, thank you to everyone that was able to join us today. So we've got Chaz. Chaz has just moved to the UK. Great to have you, Chaz. So pleased to see you on. Dishant, always joining as well. Hope you're doing well, Dishant. Dheeraj, lovely to see you as well. FPL Planner, so TN, great to see you. Buna, please don't cause havoc in the stream.
Sorry, Mira, I don't know if you can hear me.
I can hear you. We may have lost a little bit of signal, though, because it looks like you've paused on the screen there, Andrew. We'll see if we can work out what's going on there. Can you guys in the chat let me know if we are stuck or not? I think, Andrew, you're back for me, so hopefully we are back for everyone as well. So, yeah, apologies. I think...
I'm back.
Yes.
I'm back.
Yes, it looks like we're good. It's been a bit of a... I'm not sure. It's just started raining outside as well, so I don't know if it's just Sydney climates at the moment. Who knows? Let's see. Chaz is saying it's a blue post or blue tweet. That's hilarious. Maybe that's what we're going to call it. I have no idea. And we've got Pete in the chat as well. He just said blink twice if you can hear us. I'm sorry about that, guys. I'm not sure what's going on there. Hey, Ashley, so FPL Crisis in the house as well. So lovely to see you guys. Thank you so much for being in the chat. We will be taking questions a little bit later as well, this particular episode. So, yep, look, we're riding the wildcard wave with FPL Point Break. I'm not on wildcard. I've already played my wildcard in game week 6. I haven't quite worked out if my wildcard in game week 6 was successful or not. However, I'm really hoping that I can get some inspiration from Andrew's wildcard. If I didn't mention it earlier, Andrew, I think we were talking about this, Andrew. Andrew does some really interesting picks when he comes to picking his punt picks, and part of his show with Pete. Oh, can you still hear me? Is it still working? I'm not sure.
All good.
Okay, cool.
No, it's fine. It's fine. Go on.
As part of your punt picks in Goodwill Punting on the FPL SideNet podcast, I'm really hoping that you'll give me some inspiration with my the couple of picks that I feel like I need to make as well. So yeah, hopefully we can help each other out a little bit too. But look, before we get started with game week 12 and what we've got sort of cooking on our end, I just wanted to give a shout out to the FPL community over here in Sydney and in Australia in general. So you can see over here we have our regular meetups, and it's been a while since we've had a meetup where everyone could attend, but we've had some really good meetups between Sydney and in Canberra. And you can see there Andrew is very, very tall, and he just mentioned before we jumped on the stream that he plays basketball as well, which does not surprise me one bit. And you know, this particular photo, which all of you can't see just yet, but you can see over here now, this particular photo of the FPL meets and the gang. Look, it's been a while since we've done the meetup, but you can see there Andrew is pretty damn tall. And one of the meets that we had was one of the bars over here in Sydney, and it was a Liverpool bar. We went to see a Liverpool Everton match. And I just could not believe how tall Andrew was. And he was standing behind me. And I was like, oh, shit, can you see over me? But I'm pretty damn short. So he was fine. But we had a great laugh over here. So, yeah, it's a wonderful community over here in Sydney, especially, and in Canberra. So, yeah, lovely to see everyone. And in Melbourne too. So, yeah, lovely meetups and all of that. But, Andrew, before we get cracking with a quick review of our Game Week 11, tell us a little bit about, like, how long you've been playing FPL. I've got your previous seasons on the screen as well. For those that are listening, we'll try and sort of read a few of them out. But, yeah, there's quite a few seasons. So, Andrew, how long have you been playing? It looks like it's about 17 years or so.
Yeah, possibly. Yeah, I feel like it's been at least, it's been close to 18, 19 years. So when I first moved out of home, back when I was about 21, I moved into a share house with a few mates, and on a Saturday night, we used to just stay up and have a few drinks and watch the Premier League. And we just all started playing fantasy then, just as a bit of a way to add a bit of spice to the Premier League on a Saturday night. A bit of banter. It's quite competitive, the mini league that I've basically been in the same mini league with my close mates since the very beginning, 2007 or whenever it was. But really, up until only about 3 or 4 years ago, all I cared about was that mini league with my mates. So I didn't actually know much about, you know, the FPL community and podcasts and content. I wasn't on Twitter. So I was very, very much a casual, and I was just focusing on my mini league. And I literally don't think I even knew what overall rank was until maybe 4 or 5 years ago.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So, you can see my ranks going back. Yeah, you can see my ranks going back all the way back then, very, very sporadic at best. It's really only the last few years that I've been, you know, taking it a bit more seriously.
Yeah, I love it. This is my fourth season, and so I've been listening to your podcast for the time that I've been playing. It was, you know, the FPL community over here in Australia, and then the FPL sort of content that's created over here by some amazing content creators like yourself, the Amateurs of Australia podcast as well, the Ryan, and then you've got Tien, and there's a whole bunch of us over here. And I discovered you guys, you know, one of the early podcasts that I discovered when I was learning about FPL. So, yeah, but you've had some really good ranks. When I started playing, I think I started playing in the 21-22 season. And so you finished like 42K, you know, back then. So, yeah, really good. So, yeah, I see what you mean, like playing a bit more seriously last couple of seasons. Really good ranks there that you've got. But also some really decent ranks early on, like your 2008-2009 season was 41,000 as well. So, yeah, pretty impressive. Like, you've been playing much longer than I have and much longer than many that I know as well. So, yeah, really, really impressive.
Yeah, just looking at it now, it looks like my best ever rank was sort of 2013, 2014, where I got 24K.
Yeah.
And at the time, I had no idea that I got 24K. All I knew is whether or not I won my mini league.
Your mini league. So, yeah.
But yeah. It's called the Bad Egg League. So shout out to my mates that are in the Bad Egg League with me, and whoever loses has to name their team Bad Egg for the following season.
Oh, brilliant.
But yeah, that's pretty much all.
So
But
how
yeah,
did
I think
you?
2020, 2021, when I've got that.
Yeah.
Sorry, Mira. Can
No
you hear
go.
me? Yeah, I
Yeah.
was just going to say that 2020 to 21 was the first year that I tried to sort of take it a bit more seriously. Didn't go great that first year, but then the last three have been a lot better.
Yeah, nice. No, I was going to ask you, so has your style of play changed, in the last couple of seasons that you've been, taking it a bit more seriously? Have you, changed the way you've been playing, like, and what sort of prompted you to change that as well?
I'm not sure what prompted me to change it. I think I feel like I was just sick of losing my mini league,
Yeah,
and I
right.
thought, a mate of mine, who's not in the mini league, mentioned, oh, there's podcasts and stuff. You can listen to them, and they can give you some pretty good advice. And I was like, okay, I'll start listening to a couple of podcasts. And he put me on to one or two, and I listened to them, and then, I enjoyed listening to them so much. I started listening to more and more and more, and yeah, so I just really started to listen to a lot of podcasts. I really enjoy. I'm similar to Pete, who I do the Side Net podcast with. I like to have my own ideas on what I'm going to do, and I listen to a lot of content, but I don't usually take my ideas from that content. I listen to it merely from an entertainment point of view, and I tend to be quite stubborn with my own ideas. So I'll have a plan, and then I'll listen to 10 podcasts. They all say that my plan is bad, but I'll just do it anyway, because that's sort of what I wanted to do.
I love
Which
that.
is probably why I never really get to that. I never get to the top 10K because I'm too stubborn slash arrogant. I think that I know better, and I definitely don't.
Oh, I love that though, because like you're not looking for confirmation bias. Like occasionally I'm looking for confirmation bias. Like right now I've got Pedro on my mind, right? And so anyone who sort of says, "Oh yeah,
Yeah.
Pedro's a really good pick." I'm like, "Yep, confirmation bias. Excellent. Yes." But no,
Yeah.
I think over the last couple of seasons I've definitely got better at sort of trusting my gut and instinct on, what players I want to bring in, how I want to play, the style, that I want to play as well. And so that's just come with being into it a little bit more and enjoying it, the planning process, the data, balancing out with, eye tests as well. So, like you, I like just getting inspiration from different, content creators, but different sort of streams. And similarly, I don't necessarily make the same moves that they're suggesting, not at all. Like maybe in my first season I was. Now I'm sort of like, oh no, I'm just looking for different perspectives. It's just a different, way of rationalizing the picks that you're making, that kind of thing. So yeah, that's pretty awesome though. Like really, really good seasons there. Shall we do a quick review of our game week 11? It feels like a lifetime ago that we, thought about game week 11. But Andrew, I've got your game week 11 on the screen now as well. So yeah, just for those that will probably be listening
There
on
we go.
audio as well, if you don't mind just reading out, the team that you had, how many points you got, and yeah, tell us about your game week.
Yeah, okay, no worries at all. Yeah, I mean, thank God I've got a green arrow coming on your show for the first time. I wouldn't have wanted to come on and talk about a red arrow, but I did get a small green arrow. I got 64 points, but I did take a 4 point hit. So net of 60. It was enough. I think my safety score was about 54, so it was enough for a green arrow that took me from about 2.1 million to about 1.7. I think it's 1.76. So happy enough with that. I've had about three green arrows in a row, but before that, I had a massive red arrow. So they kind of I'm pretty much just back where I was about 4 weeks ago. But anyway, I got 9 points from Fabianski, so that was really nice to have him in goals. Two from Saliba, 0 pointer from Rico Lewis, who's just been infuriating to own, and I can't wait to get rid of him.
Oh, yes.
Robinson, 6 points. The big minus four was for Bruno Fernandes, and that could not have gone better. So I got 17 points from him, and I got Bruno for a minus four, so that I didn't have to play Rodgers.
Yeah.
And so Rodgers on the bench got 1 point. So It was a really, really good result that that Bruno, just for the first time this season, absolutely exploded. 2 points from Brennan Johnson, 2 from Palmer, 5 from Mbeumo. The other transfer I made last week was Havertz to Cunha, and Cunha scored, was it 12 points? Yeah, so my two highest scoring players were the two players I brought in this week, and they've saved me from a red arrow. Captain Solanke, 4 points, and Haaland with the 5 points. So managed to, the Bruno and the Cunha returns pretty much outweighed all of the losses from not having Salah, so I still managed a small green arrow, which was great.
Bruno did absolute wonders for those that brought him in this game, like the previous game week, especially after how many, I don't know, we've just had a running joke in our, obviously our, you know, Australia community group chat that we've got over, you know, on Twitter or X. And it's just hilarious, like how many managers held on to Bruno right from the get-go, you know, Analytics FC, Bruno's a great pick, look at the numbers, X this.
Yep.
And we've had so many, like, just again, the running joke, how many people have just held on to Bruno. And look, you know, their patience definitely paid off, but good on you for like bringing him in game week, you know, game week 11. My previous guest as well, Pabs, who also brought in, you know, Bruno Fernandes as well, or Fernandes, did really well bringing him in. So yeah, great shout. And yeah, the minus four didn't really matter at that point, right?
Yeah, it was a bit of a risk taking a minus four 1 week before wildcard. It's definitely not something that the experts recommend, but I was just feeling really good about Fernandes this week, and I just, at all costs, did not want to play one of my Aston Villa players away to Liverpool. So, yeah, I just decided to go for it. And it took a little... I had to swallow my pride a little bit, because at the start of the season, before the season started, Pete and I on the SideNet podcast, we do like a little segment where we make some season predictions. And one of the season predictions is who's going to be the most disappointing FPL asset for the season. And my prediction was actually Bruno Fernandes. So for me to turn around and actually bring him into my team, I had to kind of swallow my pride a little bit, but I just thought, you know, for that 1 week, I could just see, I could see a haul coming, and thankfully it happened.
Yeah, I just saw Pabs in the chat as well. He said, love the Bruno pick. And yeah, absolutely. So Pabs was on the, you know, ahead of game week 11. And he was pretty gung-ho on the Bruno pick as well. And did, yeah, he did great too last game week. I wanted to just call out that your son is doing fantastic as well. I was going to find his, there you go. This is his team. This is like his sort of, I haven't got his team up. So Hayden, your son, who is absolutely smashing it in the side net, obviously league, but also just smashing it. You know, he's, although he got a red arrow, but his previous rank was 344K and he's now 540K. How's that going? It's the first season he's playing, is that right?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, he's only 8 years old. And last season he sort of started to take a little bit of interest in my fantasy team. And this season I said, you know, mate, I can help you set up a team of your own if you want. And he's like, yeah. So we set up a team in about 5 minutes, and you know, full of picks that would be very weird to someone that is not engaged. So someone who is an engaged FPL manager, he had some strange selections, but he's absolutely smashed it all season. He's just, I don't know how he's doing it, but some of the selections he's making, like a couple of times he's brought in players that everyone else is selling and then they've hauled.
Yeah.
It's been infuriating. But he's been ahead of me all season. He's still ahead of me. And if his luck continues, then, you know, he'll probably beat me at the end of the season and I'll never hear the end of it.
I think we're gonna need some hashtag Hayden's journey tweets or posts to follow his journey. Like, honestly, I'm really impressed. I love it that you guys call it out on your podcast as well. It's always good to sort of hear how Hayden's going. But yeah, I love that he's making, like, he's probably playing similarly to how I was playing in my first season, you know, as well. Like, I wasn't playing FPL properly, right? Like, I played my triple captaincy in game week two in my first season, and that was on Salah, who scored 2 points, and I was like, oh, is this what this chip does, right? But yeah, I love that he's doing really well. I had a pretty decent game week. Game week 11. So I've had a bit of a roller coaster. So I've had a good start to the season, number one. So, you know, can't really complain. But it's been a bit of a roller coaster for me. So I've been up and down in the, you know, 20K, 30K, down to 10, you know, 12K, 15K. And then I got to 12.5K and I was like, oh, yes, I got 61, you know, percent green arrow, really happy. But it's been a bit of a yo-yo kind of experience. I played Fabianski this time, got me one of my first clean sheets, I think, or maybe my second clean sheet this season. I'm not sure. I think maybe Henderson got me one at some point, that one rare clean sheet that Palace managed to keep. So Fabianski in goal. I played Gabriel, Aitnori, Robinson. We've both got Robinson there. So yeah, he's been such a nice differential in my team. So yeah, had Robinson. I played Lewis. Maybe shouldn't have played Lewis, but then Rogers only got 1 point, who's sitting on my bench. I've got Foden in team, Mbeumo, Salah captaincy, which did wonders. I've still got Haaland in my team, so Haaland got me, you know, 5 points. And then I've got Cunha and Solanke there up front as well. And Solanke's been a bit of a roller coaster ride, disappointment, some highs, some lows, but generally been okay. But yeah, really happy with you know, the progress that I made this, you know, previous game week. It meant I was back in the, you know, the top sort of 20K or so. Yeah, it's like I say though, it's been a bit of a roller coaster, and I have been looking at, you know, like where I am, and so every time I think about taking a -4, I'm sort of thinking, oh, you know, where will I end up on that -4? Will it take me down? And I think there was a point where I got to around here, and I was like, oh, deliberating a -8, and then I was like, nah, better not take a -8. But yeah, I'm really happy with where my season is at and where it's going, you know, for the time being. I've got 3 free transfers going into game week 12. So yeah, yeah. I'm happy, but I'm also very conflicted.
It's been incredible, Mira, your season. Like, I can't believe how well you've been doing. It's so impressive. I wouldn't really call it a yo-yo when your downs are like 30K and your ups are 10K. Like, I would kill for that kind of yo-yo. You're doing really well. And yeah, 3 free transfers is a really strong position to be in.
Yeah, no, I'm honestly grateful for the 3, you know, free transfers that I have, because you know, I've got some obvious holes in my team. So like probably the most obvious is that I don't have Palmer in my team for the good fixture run that Chelsea is about to have. Yeah. And I feel like I've gotten away with it, not having Palmer in my team. So yeah, I think that's going to be the priority transfer for me, probably out for Foden, which we'll talk about our game week 12 and your wild card as well around that. But there's a couple of obvious, you know, things there. Haaland, do I keep him, do I not keep him? That's been on my mind as well. Like, there's a lot of managers who are taking him out, and, you know, I'm like, oh, is this the game week to take him out? I'm not sure. But I finished at 77 points, which, yeah, like I say, just really happy, you know, that it went well and it worked out okay. Patience paid off. You know, it's been really hard not making transfers. It's been really hard, like, just kind of staying steady and just, you know, staying patient. Definitely different.
It's not something that I've been able to do, is hold those transfers. I think I got to 3 very early in the season, and then I just, like, there were so many fires, so many injuries. I just haven't really been able to build up a bank of transfers. So I'm impressed that you've been able to. It's really disciplined.
Oh, unlike my first season where I took 44 hits. So yeah, not 44 points worth of hits, 44 hits. Wow. So yeah, it was all right.
that was your learning season.
That was my learning season, exactly. I was taking, like, you know, -8 after the deadline had passed, and then another -12 before, you know, the next deadline was approaching. So Yeah, that's what you're supposed to do in your first season, right?
Yeah, 100%. 100%. You get a freebie in your first season. Like no one's going to judge that rank.
No, not at all. And I'm not going to delete the season either. So do a focal and delete the season.
No, never do it. Never go full focal. That's what they say.
All right. Well, let's take a look at some of the fixtures that are coming up as well. So I'll jump to Rob T's data that he's just recently posted. I think he posted about an hour or so ago, where he's got his projected goals and clean sheet odds and a couple of, you know, key matches there as well for us to probably have a quick chat around. We won't talk too much about it because I'm really keen to talk about your wild card. But Andrew, what are some of the, I guess for you, some of the key matches that stand out? Hopefully I haven't lost you. Or maybe I have lost you. Uh-oh. Oh, you're back.
Yeah, no, I'm back now.
Okay.
I'm back.
I'm sorry about that. That's okay. I was just saying about the key matches for you. So I'm, you know, I think you guys mentioned this on your podcast as well, but I'm really excited about the Leicester-Chelsea match, mostly because it's at a decent hour for us to watch over here in Australia.
Yes, yeah. So 11:30 p.m. is what a decent hour looks like when you're in Australia as a Premier League fan.
Yeah, until the clocks change again. But yeah, unfortunately, that's just the way it is. But because I'm bringing in Palmer, I'm very excited about watching that match. I never thought I'd say that, being a Liverpool supporter, but here we are.
the funny things that FPL will do to you.
I know, right? Andrew, what are some of the fixtures that you're looking forward to watching, and or not just watching, but looking forward to sort of, you know, keeping your eye on?
Yeah, absolutely. The Leicester-Chelsea game, I think it's going to be a really entertaining game. And I am, spoiler alert for my wild card, I am going to have a little bit of Chelsea coverage. So I'm excited about that. The other games that, I guess from a neutral point of view, the Man City-Tottenham game is going to be very interesting because I think it could go in so many ways. It could be, you know, Tottenham are the kind of team that can lose to Ipswich one week and then completely outplay Man City the next. Especially with the history that they've got against Man City. On the other hand, it could be 4-1, 5-0 to Man City. Like, there's such a huge range of outcomes, I think, that could happen in that game.
Mm-hmm.
The other one, I guess, there's going to be a lot of interest in Man United as well, the first game under Amorim. That's going to be really interesting. You know, where are all of the pieces going to fit? Where are they going to play? And what position is Bruno going to play? And then, yeah, it's also, I just think there's so many interesting games this week. From an FBL point of view, like Arsenal, Nottingham Forest game, I think that's going to be a really interesting one, especially if Saka is fit. He's going to be a really, he might actually be a bit of a differential pick, which you wouldn't expect to say about Saka, because a lot of people did sort of look at game week 12 as the week to kind of start to load up on Arsenal again. But given the injury cloud and the fact that we're not going to get much from Arteta, I don't think there is going to be too many Saka owners. Bournemouth Brighton is a game that Pete and I on our pod were talking about for quite a while because we both agree that could have a lot of goals in it. And there's quite a few interesting, you know, FPL assets on both teams. João Pedro, a lot of new owners.
Yep.
There's a lot of Semenyo owners out there. Evan Nielsen's getting a lot of interest, and yeah, I think there's going to be a few attacking returns thrown around in that game, I think, as well. And then of course Liverpool, Southampton, like no Ramsdale, no Bednarek. Salah is on an absolute tear. Yeah, exactly. I hope so too, because I think Salah's going to be my captain. Finishing the week with Newcastle home to West Ham again, like
it's a good week, right?
So many matches that there's not really too many matches that you look at and think, oh, I'm not really interested in watching that one. Very few.
Yeah, I was trying to work out like what, you know, like from a schedule point of view, I was like, oh crap, you know, the Liverpool matches on at 1 a.m. on Monday. Do I take, you know, which meetings do I cancel on Monday morning is what I was thinking.
Yeah, that's
just so
right.
I can stay up for that match. But yeah, the last match is going to be 7 a.m. on Tuesday for us. So that's the Newcastle West Ham. I am looking forward to that one, actually. That will be a really good match, I reckon. I don't have Isak in my team, and you know, so many managers that I've encouraged, you know, bring in Isak. Yeah. But yeah, there's some really good matches on. I'm definitely looking forward to them. And I think the one that I'm definitely going to be hoping, well, high hopes anyway, is the City Spurs match, because I'm thinking about holding Haaland for one more. You know, just one more. And the funny thing is, you know, like Tien and I sort of have joked about this in the past, where we've had you know, we've had Kane and Haaland and the captaincy, and it's like, oh yeah, maybe just one more time we'll do this, just that one more, maybe we hold on to him one more time. And I think it will come down to how much I want maybe a Saka back in my team. So if I really want Saka going forward, like beyond game week 13, for instance, and given Liverpool play City, I could take out Haaland then. You know, it's a good opportunity. It just depends how much I want Saka versus keeping Haaland for one more, even beyond, you know, game week 12. So something I'm thinking about. But City seems to be all over the place at the moment. I hope I'm back. Nope.
Yep, no, I'm here.
Oh. I think I lost the screen.
I'm back.
Yeah. Oh, wait, hold on a second. Let me just get that back up there. And yeah, I think I sort of bodged up.
Is it okay? Did you?
Yeah, I just kind of moved the screen around a little bit. But that's okay. I will just stop that. And shall we like, while we're doing that, while I'm sorting out the screens, did you want to just talk to the fixtures that are, well, we're going into a bit of a fixture run. That's going to be a bit of a pain for us as well. So I guess, like, when you were thinking about your wild card, what were some of the thoughts around, you know, the fixture congestion that we've got coming up?
The congestion or the runs?
Yeah, the fixture run. We've got a bit of congestion coming up as well. Like, there's going to be some European matches in between as well. So I guess, like, this is the recovery period between, like, the different things that are going on. So hopefully you can see that clearly while I try and sort out, like, where our faces have gone on the screen. So that's my fault for doing that. There you go. I think I've managed to sort that out. So we can see there, like, game week 12, you know, we've got, there is a lot going on in between with the European matches as well. But if you look at the dates on that, right, there's not much time in between. So Liverpool, especially, it is quite sort of quick, you know, turnaround time as well. So yeah, it's going to be interesting. But I guess when you were piecing together your wildcard, how much of, like, the fixture tickers and things like that were you thinking about and looking at, you know, ahead of time? And or did you sort of go, no, I'm just going to pick based on, and how far did you look for the fixtures as well, like with your wildcard?
Well, basically for me with the wild card, I guess back in game week 6, when a lot of other people were wildcarding, I wasn't ready to wildcard. I was concerned that we didn't know enough information to wildcard, and it was a very long time that team would have to last. It seemed to me in game week 6 that a lot of people were wildcarding to load up on Arsenal and Man City assets. They, you know, they had a bit of a fixture run. But, you know, looking at Arsenal, they had, you know, those two really good home games against Southampton and Leicester, and then they had Bournemouth away, which I didn't think was actually that great of a fixture. And then it was sort of back to difficult fixtures again until sort of now. So I thought that it was a bit of an overrated fixture run. And I was looking ahead to thinking, you know, I just wanted a bit more information. I wasn't comfortable that I had a good read on the season yet. So I sort of wasn't really comfortable in my own ability to pick a good wild card back then. So I had a look at, you know, the fixtures, and I really thought that game week 12 kind of jumped out at me as a really good time where there was a lot of teams that started a really good fixture run.
Yeah.
The other thing is, I thought the fixture runs for the teams that I wanted to target were actually quite sustained. So, like Arsenal have got a pretty good fixture run for quite a while now. Liverpool as well, even though they've got a couple of difficult ones in 13 and 14. But yeah, as well as Chelsea's fixture run just goes forever. And then there's also Wolves. There's also Brighton. There's also, well, I was thinking back in game week 6 when I first looked at game week 12, I was like, oh, like West Ham are starting a pretty good run as well. It's not something that I'm capitalizing on now given how they're going. Wolves as well. So I just thought that there was a good combination of teams with premiums and also teams with edge pieces, cheap enablers. They all had a good fixture run starting from 12, and I just thought it was a good time to do it. To answer your question about the congestion, one of the things I'm being really careful to do in choosing my wild card is picking players that I really think are nailed and are nailed to play, big minutes. I'm trying to avoid any rotation risks, and any kind of minutes risks as much as I possibly can, because I do think that this is a time period where, between now and New Year's, it's a huge time period of congestion, and you really there really is going to be quite a few kind of injuries. There's going to be quite a few. There's quite a bit of rotation. So I really wanted to focus on players that had largely a decent injury record and largely didn't get rotated very often. So yeah, trying not to be tempted by rotation risks was a massive part of me putting my wild card together, just because I know that this time of year it's just so hectic and it's just so compact, so congested.
Yeah, absolutely. And when you look at this chart, you're sort of like, so if I go sort of, you might not be able to read it clearly, but you can see there, so that the swim lanes of green, that's like 5 or more days of, recovery time for those teams down there. So your Palace, Brighton, like Brighton just seems like a really good option, like to have a couple of players from Brighton, especially because they've got decent fixtures coming up. As well, but there's plenty of recovery time in between as well. Forest, have a decent recovery time, albeit like tougher fixtures there as well, but are performing generally really well and in the top half of the table, if not sort of top five at the moment, which is, pretty phenomenal for them. But look at all this congestion that we have at the top there. So anything in red is like 2 days. And so there's a lot of red. There's a lot of red up here, and that, that's where there are some decent fixtures for some of these teams as well. So, yeah, it's gonna be tough. But yeah, no, it makes a lot of sense, like with how you're picking your players. I think, look, so I had if you're watching on YouTube, you could probably see my planning board, behind me. I had a couple of ideas of when I would want to play my wild card. And so I think when I was in game week 4-ish, I was thinking playing it my wild card in game week 6, 5, 7, around that sort of mark. And then I was thinking about the international breaks. And game week 12 was one of the periods that I was thinking about, mostly because it was off the back of an international break. And there was, fixture swings for Chelsea, for example, as we sort of touched on briefly. So it was definitely an area that I thought about. But then I remember seeing Lego Mane's, I think it was it Lego Mane or was it, James from Planet FPL? I'm not sure. One of them had put up a chart that had, way back then when they were thinking about like where congestion may be. And I was like, oh, that sounds like too much trouble. That sounds like too much effort as well. So I sort of gave up on the idea of leaving it. But yeah, I wasn't keen on playing my wild card as early as I did. And like I mentioned earlier, I have no idea if wild card 6 was actually successful or not. I'm going to do a retrospective looking back at my last sort of 10 to, well, actually, we're hitting game week 12, so probably last 13 or 14 game weeks or something like that, and do a bit of an assessment of what's gone well and not gone well. And wildcard will definitely be part of that, whether it was successful or not. But how long would you say you would assess whether your wildcard has been good?
Yeah, that's a good question. I really think that it's hard to plan for more than about sort of 5 or 6 weeks. So I think maybe that kind of 5 or 6 week period is a good time to go back and assess whether wild card has been successful. So around now is probably a good time to look at your game week 6 wild card and, and kind of make an assessment of, as you know, was it successful or not? I mean, I do think that people that wildcarded in Game Week 6 have been quite unfortunate in many ways, because you know, people brought in Haaland that didn't have Haaland and for the fixture run, and he sort of just the you know he kind of was a little bit unlucky with to not score more points in that time period. The Arsenal defense, a lot of people went double Arsenal defense for the Southampton Leicester games, and they were pretty unfortunate to concede in those games. So yeah, I mean, I don't think that the Game Week 6 wild cards were bad. And I don't think that it was necessarily a bad idea, but I do think that a lot of people that did it were pretty unlucky.
I have to admit, I had Haaland and Salah from game week one, and I've done a lot of like shifting out, pretty ruthlessly shifting out players. Like I've taken out Havertz twice and brought him back twice and took him out again. Took out Salah, brought back Salah a couple of game weeks later. I think I've just been a little bit more, because we've got so many, transfers that we can roll over. Not that I've rolled over more than three, at the moment. But I feel like I'm able to just kind of, shift around some of the players a little bit more than holding on a bit too long as well. I think I've in my past seasons I have held on to players a little bit longer than I probably should have at the time. And it's been a lot of, hindsight bias basically. And so I thought this time round, if my gut instinct says take them out, then I've just taken them out. Hence, having a love-hate relationship with Havertz this season at the moment.
I mean, I think that when you've had such a really good start like you have, then you kind of get like you kind of have the luxury of being able to use your transfers that way, because if you have a bad start, then you tend to have a lot of fires and you need to use your transfers on those. If you've had a good start, then you probably don't have those fires, and so those transfers are easier to build up, and then so you're more likely to be able to make what other people might see as a luxury transfer. And so your good start kind of can compound and get, you know, and you can maintain that good start if you use your transfers the right way. So yeah, sometimes I think those first few weeks are so important to kind of set the tone for the whole season, or for at least for a good chunk of the season.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I went into this season with the mindset that I'm just going to go full out, full on attack. And so I played my triple captaincy, on Haaland game week
Nice.
two, and then just went for differential captaincy picks between Salah and Haaland, and thankfully got some of those right. I wouldn't say that my transfers in have been very successful. Like I've had Foden in the team for quite, a couple of game weeks now, and so I wouldn't say I've made about seven transfers this season. They've not been great. Like they've been okay, but if anything, they've done better a couple of game weeks later, and so I've just had to be patient for a few game weeks. And no doubt, Foden's going to do really well as I sort of take him out, but he's going to have to go if I want to bring in Palmer. But yeah, it's been a bit of a mind shift, for me this season to play in a different way. Shall we jump into your wild card for game week 12? And before I do so, I just want to
Yeah,
give a big
sure.
shout out to everyone again in the chat. Thanks for being in the chat. We will take a, a few questions at the end there, so please do send the questions in, and I'll try and, keep an eye on them or pop them in, towards the end of the stream in another sort of maybe 10, 15 minutes or so. I was just going to say, also off the cuff is a very, off the cuff. There's very little preparation that I put into, these streams, and it's great to sort of, communicate, well, chat to the FPL community across the world. And yeah, my channel started very lighthearted. Let me just chat about how my game weeks are going and share my journey and how things are, working, not working, swearing a lot. just having rants about rage transferring players out as well. So if that's the type of content that you enjoy, please do like the stream. It will, reach others, but also subscribe as well. It's very much appreciated. It's been a lot of fun, doing these streams. I think I had someone ask a question on Twitter the other day, like when, how has it been sort of doing, the videos and live streaming, that kind of thing. Comes with its challenges, especially when there's like poor internet connection. But look, I do enjoy just rambling about how my game week is going or what I'm thinking about my FPL transfers. And it's nice to just ramble and, you know, even better having people in the audience and having people in the chat sort of communicating back as well. And even better when there's guests like Andrew on the show as well. So yeah, it's been an absolute pleasure having so many wonderful guests over the last sort of season and a bit. And we've got Andrew from the FPL SideNet podcast today. And yeah, it's been an absolute pleasure talking to Andrew so far. So please do like and subscribe. But let's jump into Andrew, your wildcard draft. Just read it out and tell us what your thoughts were.
Okay, sure. So I'll just start by reading it out, and then I guess I can sort of take you through the thinking behind it all after that. I've got Raya in goal, with Fabianski on the bench as a backup goalkeeper. I've got, in terms of the defenders, I've got Konate, Aitnori, Colwill, Hall and Konza. My midfield is Saka, Salah, Palmer, and then I've got Semenyo and Rogers. So a bit controversial there that there's no Mbeumo or Bruno Fernandes, but I guess I'll explain that in a minute. I've also got in the forward line Nick Jackson, Isak and Cunha. So basically, I guess the thinking behind this wild card is, like I said, focusing on all of the teams that I think have got really good and sustained fixture runs moving forward. There's a lot of cleanup that my team needed. And up until about 3 days ago, I still had Barco. So that's how my team was going. But I guess, as I said, the controversial omission is probably that fourth midfielder spot.
Yeah.
You know, all the content I've heard has said, you know, you've got to have Mbeumo or Bruno. Most people, I think, on wildcard are going for Isak and João Pedro, and then probably one other cheap forward. So maybe like an Isak, Cunha, João Pedro kind of forward line.
Mm.
I really, really wanted to kind of more expensive forwards. So I've got Isak and Nick Jackson. I'm really high on Nick Jackson and how he's going to go over the next sort of 10 weeks or even longer. Like the Chelsea fixture run is just insane. And I really wanted a bigger piece of that than just Cole Palmer. So I guess a couple of issues. My team value wasn't amazing, but also I kind of wanted to spend a bit more in the forward line. So that meant sacrificing that fourth midfielder spot. So Mbeumo, I got him at 7.1. He was up to 7.9. He did amazing things. Yeah, he did amazing things for me. It was very sad seeing him go, but he's only got two more really good fixtures, and they kind of go bad after that for Brentford. So part of my wild card was trying not to build in transfers. And I just think that Semenyo with Bournemouth, they've once again got really good fixtures, almost going all the way up to sort of game week 18, 19. Mm. So he doesn't have penalties, obviously, but I'm hopeful that he can match Mbeumo in open play, and then, you know, maybe it's just sort of the penalties that's the difference. But for the huge difference in cost, I thought it was worth it to allow me to upgrade, the second cheap forward to a Nick Jackson. The other sacrifice I've sort of had to make is I don't have Gabriel, which I really would like Gabriel, but
yeah,
that's why I've spent more on the goalkeeper in Raya.
Yeah.
So obviously I could have gone for a 4.5 goalkeeper, but
who?
Well, probably Verbruggen, to be honest.
Yeah, true.
He's the 4.5 that I really like, because you'll see that one of the other bigger missions from my wild card is Brighton. And we've just been talking about how good their fixtures are and the fact they've got rest and all that kind of thing. So I could have gone Verbruggen and Gabriel, but that is more expensive than having sort of Raya and, a cheaper defender. So if I'd gone for Verbruggen and Gabriel, then I probably still couldn't have afforded Konate, so I wouldn't have had that Liverpool coverage. So yeah, that part was tricky. Obviously, you know, the other place I could make some money is by having João Pedro, and that's kind of the other big area where people are going to question this wild card. But, you know, I think this is one of those examples of what I was talking about earlier, where earlier in the week, I've got a very set idea of what I want to do. And I'll listen to 10 podcasts, all of which tell me that I need João Pedro. And then I'm more and more determined not to get João Pedro.
Yeah, I agree with you. You know, I don't think like there's people in my position where, you know, I've got to free up funds. And so I'm, spoiler alert, thinking about taking out Solanke to bring in a cheaper forward, right?
Yeah.
Because I've still got Haaland in my team. And I'm thinking, well, if Spurs be Spursy, it's probably a good fixture for Haaland and to keep Haaland and maybe even put cheeky captaincy on him as well this time round. So I don't know, maybe captain him for the last time, you know, and then just chuck him out. I'm not sure. You know, I saw you got Saka there as well, but I agree with you. I feel like, you can go in so many different directions. And, you know, I was chatting to someone on Blue Sky, funny enough. I was chatting to someone who was saying that, there's just so many different variations and permutations that we've got, you know, this season just because of the price points that we're playing with now. And, you know, it does help that, you know, City is somewhat falling apart. Although I know that you and Pete were talking about maybe, you know, Pep has had 2 weeks to plot revenge and try and sort of get back on track again. So, it's possible that, they will sort of turn things around. But I think, you know, City not playing well has meant many managers have taken out Haaland. You've taken out Haaland, you know, earlier on anyway, but also, you know, not in your wild card. So there's just so many different ways that you can go. And you've been able to spread the funds in a way where you've not gone too big at the back, right? Like your most expensive defender is Konate, it looks like.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. And like I said before, you know, I'd love to have Gabriel, but at least I've got the coverage in Raya there. And I guess the other thing I tried to really do on this wild card is to get a really deep squad. So, you can see I've got 5 defenders that I can pretty much rely on to play every single week.
Yeah.
And I've sort of, as boring as it is, like I've gone through week by week and gone, okay, this week I'm going to play these 3. Game week 14, I'll play these 3. Game week 15, I'll play these 3. So you'll see that there's no, you know, there's no Brighton defender there. And I do think that Duncan, Van Heck are good options.
Yeah.
However, just looking at my full suite of 5 defenders, there were certain game weeks, like, you know, specifically sort of game week 14, I think game week 19 and game week 20, where that third defender, it suited my team a lot better for that that third defender to be Colwill rather than having a Brighton defender. In the weeks where I kind of needed that that defender, it wasn't the Brighton defender wasn't the right one for my squad. So again, that's sort of another thing that just leaves me with no Brighton, despite everything we've spoken about how good their fixture run is and how good a team they are and how well rested they're going to be compared to some of the other teams. But it's just one of those things where, you know, you can't have everyone. I think João Pedro is someone that's really interesting to talk about because he's such a bandwagon.
I need you to convince me to go there or not go there. I'll come to my team in a moment, but I also noticed that your cheapest defender is not 4 mil defender either.
No.
So yeah, again, you're able to spread, you know, the funds around. So with this wild card, how much money left in the bank?
At the moment, I think it's 0.1.
Wow. Okay. So you've maximized on the budget.
That's right. I mean, I could have done a 4.0, 4.1 defender, someone like Greaves or is it Van de Ven? Sorry.
Oh,
Van de Berg.
Yeah.
Van de Berg, sorry.
Yeah.
But ultimately, like I felt, you know, I could get it. You could get Van de Berg at 4.1 and a 4.5 or 4.6 defender adds up to 8.7. Or I could get Konsa at 4.4 plus Lewis Hall at 4.3 and adds up to the same amount.
Yeah.
The other thing I sort of looked at is looking at this squad in particular, in game week 16, there's a possibility that I can bench boost with this squad. So I've spent some of the most time I've spent is looking at like the fourth and fifth defender and like, oh, you know, in the weeks, you know, in the weeks where I could potentially be bench boost, like what kind of fixtures do they have? And this wild card that I've got has it's you know, if you look at game week 16, you know, your Arsenal have got Everton at home, Liverpool have got Fulham at home, Aston Villa have got Nottingham Forest, which is a decent defensive fixture for Konsa. Nottingham Forest don't score a lot of goals. Chelsea are home to Brentford, so that's where sort of Colwill comes in over Dunk. If you look at, you know, Brighton, Brighton have got a good fixture in game week 16 as well, actually. So that actually wasn't one of the weeks that made me go for Colwill. But yeah, you've also got what
I like it.
Bournemouth have got West Ham at home, Wolves have got Ipswich at home. Well, and then yeah, I mean, that's really my whole squad. Like, you know, I've got.
That's a good shout.
It's a good bench boost week. It was actually an idea that I got from listening to Planet FPL. James from Planet FPL shouted out the possibility of game week 16 being a really good bench boost week, and there are just so many teams, you know, that I'm loading up on for my wild card that just happen to have amazing home fixtures, and it's going to be hard to find players to bench. So maybe I will just play the bench boost if all goes well with injuries.
Yeah, that's the thing, right? Like it's the minutes, and you know, I was just thinking about like you've got you know, maximum. Actually, Semenyo's not on pens, is he? It's
No,
Ivan
he's not.
Ilson at the moment.
You know what though? I think
Oh,
pens are overrated this season.
there's not many given.
There's not many given. Like, how many times do you listen to a pod and they say, oh, you know, and this guy, he, you know, he could be on pens. I mean, we don't know yet. And it's like we're in game week 12, man.
How
Like,
do we not know?
how do we not know? It's because they're not giving out pens. How many pens did we have in game week 11? It was
None.
zero. Zero.
None.
And yeah, we're getting a one a week or so. I feel like in the past, it's like load up on penalty takers. It'll pay off. And I think this year, I'm taking more of an attitude as it's like a tiebreaker, but it's not something that I'm really focused on loading up on because there's a clear trend of the referees giving fewer pens. And VAR, with the exception of a couple of pretty controversial incidents, they're intervening less. So like I really think that I've put a bit less weight on penalty takers for this wild card than I would normally do.
Yeah, love it. Ash just mentioned, love the early bench boost shout, pending some luck with some short turnaround.
Yeah, that's
That's the
right.
thing. I think like, and I have to admit, like this season, I've been probably thinking 2 or 3 game weeks ahead, not too far. You know, even like I tried to think, I tried to look at like 5 game weeks at the very least. Beyond that, I just feel like we just things are shifting constantly, and you know, like the bandwagon is shifting a little bit as well, template, all of that. And whilst I don't, similar to you, I'm not really, you know, focusing in on that as such, I am definitely just looking at where the template is going, where, you know, where it's swinging, you know, what is the hot sort of, you know, player this week. And at the moment it's João Pedro, thanks to his however many minutes he came on for and got his, I don't know, 11
Yeah, got
pointer
his
or
double-digit
something.
haul. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. But yeah, no, I really like your wild card. I think it's super balanced. Raya was really, you know, I was really keen to bring in Raya in my wild card and then ended up not because Raya Gate happened and we didn't know what was going on, and there was amongst, you know, other things, wild card six. But look, I came out on the good side of wild card six, you know, a couple of game weeks later, not probably immediately. Immediately it felt like it was just doom and gloom, you know, red arrow after red arrow. But you know, honestly, you won't hear sort of complaints from me, you know, where I am at the moment. But I really like your haul pick as well, and Konate I think is a really good pick. I think I sort of mentioned a couple of game weeks ago that, oh, I'm not sure if it's worth going Konate, but he's been pretty solid. And yeah, he's, you know, the confidence is high, you know, with the Liverpool side as well. We've got a great manager, top of Champions League, top of Premier League. Trying not to show my biases at the moment, but yeah, we're doing pretty good at the moment. So I really like the Konate pick, and I'm slightly jealous that I don't have a Liverpool defender in my team, you
Yeah,
know,
they've
going
been
into game
so
week 12.
impressive defensively, haven't they? They've been really impressive. And he's probably one of the exceptions to my rule of trying to pick non-injury prone players, but he's just been so solid this year. Like, you know, he's gone 12 weeks without an injury, and you know, similar to Danny Welbeck, you know, I avoided him at the start of the season because I like, oh, he always breaks down after 2 or 3 weeks, and he hasn't. So, you know, maybe, you know, this season's going to be different. So yeah, I guess I'm hopeful that he does stay fit a little bit longer.
I am seriously considering even Ilson or Semenyo as well, like, but maybe not for game week 12. So obviously Brentford's fixtures, you know, if we look at the fixture ticker again, so Brentford's fixtures do get slightly tougher from game week 14, and
Yeah,
so
that's
I'm
right.
thinking maybe I bring in, I mean, although Bournemouth have Tottenham, they've then got Ipswich and West Ham who have been absolute dismal, you know.
Tottenham at home is a good attacking fixture. Don't worry
Yeah,
about that.
I
They
think
ignore the
so. Yeah.
yellow.
Yeah, I think so. So I'd be missing out on the Brighton and the Wolves fixtures there, but maybe Mbeumo down to Semenyo if I don't go even Ilson, you know, in the forward line as my third forward. Yeah, I'll talk to you about my game week bus team as well. So game week 12, these are some of the the thinking that I've got at the moment. So I've got three free transfers going into game week 12, which I'm very grateful for. I'm not sure if I'd play the 4-3-3 combination or formation that I've got on the screen at the moment, but maybe Lewis ends up on the bench and Rodgers plays, you know, at home to Palace.
I think that you probably should do that. Yeah, Palace is a great home fixture for Rodgers.
Yeah, so I didn't really change too much from what I had last game week. I just kind of made the transfers and took a screenshot kind of thing.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah.
So apologies for that. It was a bit sort of lazy on my part or very sort of off the cuff. Like, let me just quickly do this and just chuck it on this board. But I'm going to probably play Flecken, God help me. So I'm going to play Flecken and not watch that match, maybe. I don't know. I reckon. Flecken against Everton, who are not really scoring that many goals, maybe could be a good, you know, option there. But then I've got Gabriel and Aitnori and Robinson that I'll probably play, and Lewis will probably end up on the bench. And then I'll play Rodgers in the mid with Palmer and Mbeumo and Salah captaincy at the moment. And then up front, I've got even Ilson at the moment anyway, Cunha and Haaland as well, who I've decided to keep in my team for one more game week. And then on the bench, I'll have Fabianski, Lewis, Dybala, and Greaves. But look, my even Ilson pick could be a Wisser, it could be a Pedro, you know, it could be a Welbeck as well. So that's what I'm thinking. And the priority was to bring Palmer in for Chelsea's fixture run. Like I mentioned earlier, I feel like I've gotten away with it, not owning Palmer. And so I don't know how long I can get away with that now, given that their fixtures are definitely, you know, getting better. So priority was to take Foden out and bring Palmer in. And that doesn't leave me with many funds. So I've got something like 6.2 million to spend on a third, you know, forward pick, which is why I was eyeing up even Nilsson, who's a lot more expensive than Pedro. I didn't realize, but yeah, he's on the 5.9 sort of, you know, ish end. Welbeck went up in price the other day as well. I think it was yesterday or the day before. He's up to 6 mil. But Pedro is still, yeah, he's still doing okay. He might go up in price soon. But yeah, that's what I'm leaning towards. But talk to me about Pedro and what your thinking was there.
Well, it's a really interesting sort of conversation. My thinking on Pedro is that for 5.4, he's fantastic. Don't get me wrong, but I think that people are getting a little carried away with what he did off the bench, in that one comeback. Sorry, in his comeback from injury last week, it kind of reminded me of I don't know if you remember what KDB last year when he
Oh,
was
yeah.
out injured for a very long time and. In his first match back, he came off the bench and he got like a double digit haul. He got a couple of assists and bonus points. And all of a sudden, people were scrambling to bring him in. And then over the next kind of couple of months, he was pretty disappointing. You know, his minutes weren't, you know, his minutes were, you know, a bit iffy. He was ticking over, but he wasn't really doing what people expected him to do. And I think you've got to be careful of reading too much into, you know, a bench performance coming back from injury. You know, for one thing, Man City would have not been planning for Pedro, but you can be sure that every single opponent that Brighton have got for the next 6 weeks will be planning for Pedro. The other thing is they've just got that many players in those positions. I mean, João Pedro is probably his best position is probably more of like a number 10 than a
10.
number 9 anyway.
Yeah.
Similar to Cunha, really.
Yeah.
Cunha sort of plays a bit deeper. So does Pedro usually, which kind of means that they're almost like midfielders. It kind of means that if you've got Cunha and Pedro, you've really only got one proper striker in your team.
Yeah, true.
But yeah, I mean, in terms of the players that are on Brighton, you've got Welbeck and Ferguson that can play that number nine. So Pedro's kind of he tends to start deeper, and then maybe when one of those two players goes off, he might move up for the last little bit of the game if he's still on the field. But generally, he's playing that 10 position, and even in that position, he's competing with like Ruta, who's their 40 million record signing, so he's going to
Yeah.
get minutes. There's other midfielders they've got like Baliba that can kind of take minutes from Pedro as well. And I think, given that he's had a couple of injuries already this season, they are going to manage his minutes. We're going into a very congested period. I know that we said that Brighton have got more rest than other teams, but it's still a
A little
congested
bit,
period. It makes no sense for Pedro to get run into the ground when they've got all of the options that they've got during this congested fixture period. So I think he's a really good pick because he's 5.4, but people seem to be treating him like a 7.5 million, 8 million forward. And I think that if you have those kind of expectations, then you might be a bit frustrated by having him in your team. Because I think he's more going to be someone that ticks along pretty nicely, an assist, a goal every second game or so. But he is going to miss time. He is going to go off on the 70th minute sometimes. He is going to be benched and then just come on for the last half an hour sometimes. So if you're prepared for all of that, then I think he's a good pick. He's 5.4 and he enables so much else in your team. So,
And I think for me it was a I don't know if I definitely want to get rid of Haaland anytime, soon. I mean, at the moment I'm thinking game week 13 because, City play Liverpool. And so, yeah, it would definitely be tempting, around that sort of time. But yeah, I completely agree with everything that you said there. And that's where, I think I sent FPL Crisis. I sent Ash a message saying, if not Pedro, then who? What are the options? And I think I tweeted or put a post up on both, both platforms saying, hey, this is what I'm thinking. I'm thinking Pedro, but even Nilsson's an option. And given that their fixture runs good as well, that means that I don't go Semenyo. It means that Mbeumo in game week 14 could become someone else, I don't know who that option could be. Yeah, not sure just yet. It could be, Haaland and then upgrade via Mbeumo to Saka, or I'm not sure. I could, taking out Haaland, I can upgrade Dybala to Saka and it would be okay, right? So I think there's a couple of options there, but I do like the Welbeck pick. I think the only thing that sort of puts me off, then going Brighton is exactly what you described there. There's so many different options available to Brighton in that side as well. So, will we see more rotation than what we've already seen? And then on top of that, you've got Pedro in the mix as well. But I do like Welbeck and he's on form as well.
Yeah,
So,
he is. And he's played every
yeah,
game this season, hasn't he?
that's right. Yeah.
Yeah, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like Welbeck as well. I like Evan Nielsen. I think, if you always got to think about what you're going to do with that Mbeumo spot in a couple of weeks, because if you are going to go Mbeumo to Semenyo, are you throwing too many eggs in the Bournemouth basket by also going Evan Nielsen?
100%. And I think that's why I didn't want to go Wisser because not only do Brentford's fixtures, chain, like they obviously shift for slightly the worse. I wouldn't say entirely bad. I think at that point, Wisser playing a little bit more of that nine role is definitely more appealing than to keep, on in the side as the third forward option. But Mbeumo, I could probably still get rid of at that point. But yeah, I think it's just an extra transfer for me, later on. And similar to what you've done with your wild card pick, right? Like your wild card draft where you've made some, really solid picks where you've ignored a little bit of, what's coming up in game week 12 and ignored some of the obvious picks that are in game week 12 or game week 13. So I think thinking ahead there, I know if I brought in Wissa, I'd probably regret it just because I've then got two Brentford players and their fixtures turn. And then, you know, with Ivar Nilsson, yes, it does mean that I don't bring in Semenyo if I wanted to go a cheaper option. Although, because I've got Rodgers and Dybala, I don't know if I would want to go a little bit cheaper. I'd rather just upgrade one of them up to Semenyo maybe. So, yeah. But then what happens to the Mbeumo spot? So I'm not sure. And I think that all comes down to whether I want to keep Haaland in the team or not as well. So, yeah. That's the current predicament.
Yeah, I mean, I actually think that Wissa is a really good pick.
And just keep him right in the team for a little while longer.
I feel like you can consider it. If you look at it from the point of view of, you know, the next two games that Brentford have are Everton and Leicester. Obviously, amazing fixtures. You've got Mbeumo.
Yeah.
And anyone would love to have double, like the two kind of talisman of the team, double attack for those two fixtures.
Yeah.
And then after that, there's the possibility that you might want to get rid of Mbeumo as the fixtures get a little bit, because midfield spots are so competitive. So you might want to target someone with better fixtures, at which point you'll just have Wissa
Which isn't terrible. I mean, if you look at the fixtures, I mean, yes, there's Everton, there's Leicester. Villa have been leaky, of course. As have, you know, Newcastle. Although Newcastle have defensively improved a little bit, seems like anyway. Yeah. Chelsea have still been leaky. Forest have been pretty solid, but, you know, still there's goals there. Brighton after that. So, yeah, you're right. Like, Wissa is a good option to just have in the side and then, you know, use up that midfield spot because it's prime real estate as well. So,
yeah. And he is cheap enough that you can bench him in a week where he's got a really bad fixture. You know, you've got, obviously, you've got Morgan Rodgers as well. So, for example, you know, game week 14 and 15, Morgan Rodgers has got Brentford and Southampton at home. So maybe in those weeks you could, you know, especially away to Aston Villa, away to Newcastle, you could maybe bench Wissa. If you look at Wissa's returns, I think like he's literally scored against everyone he's played except for Liverpool and Fulham away. 11 points against Palace, 8 points against Southampton, 7 against City, and that's when he got injured, so he had a few games off. And then when he came back, 10 points against Ipswich, 13 points against Bournemouth, and the blank against Fulham. So there's only been two games this season that he's blanked. When he hasn't been injured. So he's very, very consistent, and including, you know, some more difficult opposition like Man City. Man City's the main one. He has had pretty good fixtures in the other games, but he does seem to be someone that does return pretty consistently. So he's a pretty good shout for that price, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so too. I think like for me, it's probably, I'm now a little bit after our conversation as well, and you know, just putting it out there into the interwebs as well. I am leaning a little bit more towards a Welbeck or a Wissa. I think Welbeck, just because of the Brighton fixtures, I feel like it's not something I can ignore. Whereas Mbeumo, I can still get down to Semenyo.
Right.
But it's that third spot where I won't want to make too many transfers with that spot.
Yeah, that's
just for
right.
The, you know, like Haaland, if Haaland comes out, it's probably going to be an Isak or a Jackson. In fact, it will probably be Jackson in. But I don't want to play with that third, you know, spot, which I'll probably bench rotate with, you know, Rodgers and Dybala, and, you know, depending on where I go with the Haaland funds as well. So. Yeah. You know, that's definitely the current thinking.
I think everything you've said tonight kind of makes me think that maybe you should go for a Welbeck, because you've been talking up Brighton's fixtures, you've been talking up the rest they've got between games compared to other teams, and you don't have any Brighton coverage. It feels like you want some Brighton coverage, and it makes sense. So,
yeah, I just feel like they're so attacky. You know, I'm not necessarily a Brighton I don't really follow them, like, as in, you know how well they generally play or anything like that. I've just seen, you know, some good things from them, and they seem to be picking up their form a little bit as well, like, in terms of attack and with the good fixtures, because fixtures are important, right? So with the good fixtures, yeah, I feel like it could be a good time to jump onto Brighton. But Pedro's minutes, you know, whilst he made a huge difference coming on, you know, in game week 11, like, as soon as he was on, instantly he was on it, you know, with his passes and you know, obviously he got his double digit you know, points there. Of course, it's easy to have that recency bias as well, so I'm trying not to have that recency bias, but he did look really good when he did come on as well. So, you know, I would be relying on my bench if I go with Pedro. I'll be heavily relying on Rodgers on the bench, because my, you know, my my fourth and fifth midfield options are Rodgers and Dybala. So that's where, you know, unless I sort of make that switch over fairly soon with Haaland funds, I'll be relying on my bench to do good. And the other option is, you know, Rico Lewis. And so, which might be okay, who knows, right? Like, you just don't know with City as well.
I think you probably would play João Pedro over Rodgers the vast majority of weeks. It's just that every now and then he might just get that benching, you know, maybe slightly more often than some of the other players you've got in your team, you know, maybe two benchings in the next, you know, 8 weeks or so, you know, compared to one for some of your other players. So, I don't want to be all doom and gloom on Pedro. You know, I think he is a good pick. Mm. He is on pens, like he's, you know, as you said. So, for the price, I think he's a really, really good pick. If they were the same price, I would maybe go for Welbeck over Pedro.
Yeah.
I know that not everyone's going to agree with that too. So, you know, whatever your gut says, I think your gut's been serving you pretty well.
Yeah, thank you. Like, it's, I think it's going to be a last minute pick for sure, you know, with that, hoping that, you know, I'm not too worried about the funds. Like, it will leave me with 0.9 in the bank if I go with Pedro, and if he goes up, it'll be 0.8. It's okay. It's not, you know, it's not too bad. And obviously a little bit less if I go with Welbeck, just because he's that little bit more expensive and, you know, sort of increasing in price this week as well. We're hitting sort of an hour and 20 minutes or so. It looks like the chat has been answering each other's questions and stuff as well. I don't think we've had too many questions, but if you have any questions, please do drop them in the chat now. And we'll quickly go over our punt picks for game week 10. So this is the Punty McPuntface segment, which is, you know, one punt pick that is under 10% owned going into the game week. So game week 12 punt pick. Andrew, who is your Punty McPuntface pick?
So I have gone for Anthony Gordon this week. I really like the way that Newcastle are trending performance wise, and I really like the fixture they've got this week, home to West Ham. I think there's a lot of goals there. We saw that Anthony Gordon had a little bit of a knock in the last game for Newcastle, but since then he has played for England and scored for England, so he's obviously fine. I just think that given what we've talked about in terms of our midfields and how much competition there is for space in the midfields, like, there's no one that's talking about Gordon. There's no one that has Gordon, but I think it's a fantastic fixture for him. So if you're going to go for like a real 1 week punt, like, I can see him hauling this week against West Ham, and yeah, you get all those points to yourself. I think he's about 8% owned. Yeah. So he's down to 7.2. So he's not, he's not too expensive. For this week, I think is great, but also in a couple of weeks, maybe another option to think about when you're looking to downgrade Mbeumo. If you don't want to hold Mbeumo through his more difficult fixtures.
I like it. I hadn't even thought about Anthony Gordon going into, you know, like, after, obviously probably not for game week 14, and hold on to Mbeumo for, you know, game week 14. But yeah, that's definitely a good option, you know, sort of beyond game week 14. Because I think that's the only tough fixture for Newcastle in the next sort of five to seven game weeks or so. But I also didn't realise he was under 10% selected. because obviously he had a really good season last season, and then so he was in so many teams from the beginning of, you know, the season as well. So yeah, a little bit surprised that he was under 10%, you know, pick there as well. But yeah, love it, love the pick. And you're right, West Ham, oh gosh, they've been awful, and Newcastle have been pretty good at home. So yeah, I think it's a really good fixture. Yeah. So for my punt pick, I went with Wissa. So also someone who was on my mind around, you know, that 8.2% selected as well, and at sort of 6.1 mil as well. It's a really good fixture. I know it's an away fixture. It's Everton, though. Everton have been pretty, average, although they've been keeping some random clean sheets as well. But I just think with the attacking potential that Brentford have, you know, Wissa's just been getting, you know, I think... I was looking at like at the shots, sort of shots taken and conversion, and you know how many goals Wissa has scored. His conversion rate's been more than 50% or something. So you know, for the number of shots he's taken, and he's not been fully fit this season either. So it just goes to show how much potential Wissa has as well. And you know, if anything, he's probably taking points off of Mbeumo at the moment. So yeah, I really like the Wissa pick for a one week punt. Everton could be a really good fixture where they that could go. That I reckon there'll be goals from Brentford, definitely. And I'm really counting on a clean sheet in that match as well.
That's right, for Flecken.
Yeah, wouldn't that be amazing? Jeez.
Well, if he's gonna get a clean sheet this season, it's gonna be against Everton, right?
Oh, so, surely. Or maybe DCL. Who knows? Maybe those that have been patiently keeping DCL in their teams, maybe DCL will reward as well. But yeah,
it will be peak FPL if DCL wipes out the Flecken clean sheet in like the 90th minute or something. That would.
I just don't think we should put that out into the universe.
It's too late. It's there.
That's probably what's going to happen. I am not there for that. Look, it's going to be a good match nonetheless. Yeah. Like we said, like all the fixtures this game week are looking really, really good. So yeah, I'm very much looking forward to like catching some of the matches live and just checking out, you know, what's going on in general I don't know. I don't know if I'll stay up for any of the matches or not. I'll need to kind of work out my plans. I'm supposed to be playing tennis a couple of times on the weekend. So yeah, I'm going to have to see how that goes. If I've got the energy to stay awake all night and sort of, you know, do that. But we do have a couple of questions that have come in. So I'm just going to share another screen so you can see the questions, Andrew. And we can also... Where is that show meeting? There we go. Yeah, so you should be able to see some of the questions that are coming up there. So we'll pop up Marcus's question. So Marcus is saying, thanks for being in the chat, guys, again. If you have any more questions, please do pop them up. I will get them up on the screen and we'll talk through the questions as well. So Marcus is saying, Flecken, Fabianski, Gabriel Porro, 8 Nori, Colwill Greaves, okay, Saka, Palmer, Mbeumo, Semenya, Rogers, Haaland, Wood, Cunha, 2 free transfers, Flecken and Porro to Raya and Hall. Don't mind that.
I really like that.
Yeah, team looks really good as well.
Yeah, I think that Wood might be someone that, you know, that not as an urgent sell, but he might turn into a sell just by virtue of how difficult their fixtures are becoming. Mm. But honestly, those for this week, those 2 free transfers, Flecken and Porro to Raya and Hall, like they look fantastic for this week.
Yeah, I like it. You know, I like I mentioned to you, I'm a little bit jealous of your Konate defense. You know, pick, and then Hall as well, just because the fixture runs are looking really good, and it's a really good option. But Marcus, really like your team.
I really like his team. It's almost wild cardy after he makes those transfers.
Yeah, I know, right? Like how many free transfers? Yeah, I mean 2 free transfers. Yeah, your team's looking really good, you know.
Yeah.
that I think Marcus was also asking about timber. Yeah, there's been a lot of conversation around timber and sort of Kalifuri and just a couple of the other defensive options for Arsenal. And I've been deliberating, do I go triple up on Arsenal eventually again? And if so, is it double defence? Because we've been so hot on double defence, you know, we being sort of the royal we of the FPL community, being That's so right. hot on double defence. But yeah, I'm not sure about that.
I don't like timber as a pick, to be honest. I was just sort of just trying to look to see how much Salih. Yeah, I mean, if possible, I would much prefer that second defender to be, you know, Saliba or, you know, maybe like a Raya Gabriel or a Raya Saliba. I just think they're worth the extra. The issue that we've got with timber is that Thomas Partey can play right back. Tomiyasu can play right back. Calafiori is there as well. So yeah. I don't necessarily think the Ben White injury guarantees Timber a spot. So I think it's much safer to go for two out of the three of Raya, Saliba and Gabriel if you can possibly afford it.
Yeah, love it. Agree. And yeah, I'm not sure about the double you know, double up at the moment. It would probably be attack in my case, but triple up, probably not so much. Amit. Amit's asking for TAA. So Trent replacements. Thoughts, please.
Interesting. It depends. Like, I think that if you want to generate a whole bunch of cash, then going from TAA all the way down to someone like Lewis Hall is a fantastic way to do it. If you're looking for more like for like, I just think Gabriel is a no-brainer if you don't already have him.
Yeah.
And if you do already have him, like, I actually don't mind the double Arsenal defense at all. I think that they're going to start taking, like, keeping clean sheets almost from now. So forget about what's happened in the last 5-6 weeks. I think there's a lot of clean sheets for Arsenal on the horizon. So I don't mind going to a second Arsenal defender, even if he's already got one. But yeah, to make some money, go all the way down to like a 4.5.
Yeah.
There's quite a few really good 4.5 options now.
Yeah, I think if I don't go double Arsenal defence, I'm not sure yet. I haven't sort of made up my mind on that. But otherwise, I'm bringing in Havertz again for the third time or fourth time. I'm not sure. I'm not keeping track. You know, I have to maintain the on again, off again relationship that I have with Havertz. So
yeah, right.
But no, I think I'm not sure. It'll probably end up being Saka and Gabriel, and just stick with Saka and Gabriel for the time being. I've definitely had a love relationship with Gabriel since last season. So yeah, I'll probably stick with that. So Peter has just sent in a question as well. Do I keep Delap and Watkins?
I think Watkins is a keep if you've already got him for now, just because he's three of the next four fixtures are really good. So I was just having a quick look at the fixtures. The next four fixtures: Palace at home, Chelsea away, Brentford at home, Southampton at home. It's pretty hard to sell, you know. We know that what Watkins can do. It's pretty hard to sell him when you've got those four fixtures coming up. Because his sort of minutes have been a bit less secure than previous seasons, I don't think he's a buy.
Yeah.
But if you've already got him, I would be reluctant to sell him now. And Delap, I mean, I don't think he's the worst option. Like, Ipswich's fixtures aren't too bad. He seems to score returning almost every time he plays, yeah.
Yeah. But
maybe that is the kind of player that could very easily turn into Pedro. In that situation, if you did have a few transfers up your sleeve, that would be an upgrade. But yeah, I don't think he's an urgent sell.
No, I agree. I, you know, quite like Delap. You know, I can't believe how he's just getting returns, like random goals, right?
And yeah,
you know, I think we when we look at the fixtures as well, it's not like Ipswich have terrible fixtures coming up either. So no. Yeah, it's not a bad idea.
He just keeps on scoring. No. It's like that the Breaking Bad meme. Like, he can't keep getting away with this. You know, it's like I keep on thinking of Jesse Pinkman every time he scores. But whatever it's happening there, ride the wave.
Yeah, I love it. That's, you know, very much on point with your handle, you know, FPL _point_break. as well. So, Amit, last question from our. Well, we don't know. There might be a few more questions coming through. We'll take a few more. It's okay. So Amit's asking Trent to Gabrielle for a hit. Yeah, I don't know if I would do that for a hit.
Yeah. Yeah. Look, it's hard to know without the context of the whole team. Like if he can then use that money to upgrade somewhere else that he couldn't otherwise afford, then fair enough. But I almost think it's never a good idea to take a hit for a defender because, I mean, Gabriel, yes, he's got all of this attacking, you know, he's got these bullet headers that, you know, he's got all this attacking potential. But even Gabriel only scores sort of 5 goals a season.
Yeah.
So you're really, your best case scenario almost is that they get a clean sheet and just cover the hit. So I would generally say no to a hit for a defender.
I agree.
Especially since we're not even 100% sure that TAA is out. If TAA plays against Southampton, then he's probably a better pick this week than Gabriel. At the very least, wait for news on that.
Yeah, definitely. I'm not a fan of defense, you know, sort of hits there. Doss is asking a question around what do you think about Bruno and Wissa over Mbeumo and Solanke? I would make that move for a -4. I don't know, Mbeumo's a really good... I feel like that's a sideways sort of switch, but it feels like you want Bruno more than... the sideways sort of switch, or don't want Solanke versus, you know, I think Solanke could do well, albeit I'm taking him out at the moment as well. But I'm not sure again, you know, I don't mind that. It depends how much you want Bruno and Wissa.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not sure that I'd want to take Mbeumo out yet. I mean, who have they got? They've got Everton, don't they?
Brentford's got Everton.
Yeah, I mean, you could just do the Solanke to Wissa move and then not take the hit. But, I mean, I think taking a hit to
remove... I feel like it's for Bruno.
Yeah, he really wants Bruno, and I get it. Yeah. But would you be that shocked if Mbeumo outscored Bruno in the next 2 weeks? Like, Mbeumo's got... I'm just having a look at the fixture. Mbeumo has got Everton, then Leicester. Would you really be shocked if he outscored Bruno for the next 2 weeks? Like,
no.
Up until the last couple of weeks, Bruno hasn't really been performing like we'd hope. So,
yeah.
But having said that, I took a hit for Bruno last week. So who am I to judge? Like,
trust your gut. I agree. I just, I don't know. I think like the one, I don't know if it's a good thing or a bad thing. I think the one thing I've sort of definitely adopted in my style of play going into this season is not taking out a good player for another good player. Like if there's a genuine reason they're not sort of regularly returning. Solanke, I get it. You know, he's been a little bit up and down, but yeah, look, that could be completely fine against City as well. And I might regret sort of, you know, taking Solanke out myself. But, you know, I get it that you want to bring in maybe Bruno. So, yeah, it's a tough one. But, yeah, I've tried my best not to go good player for another good player unless I really, really want that good player, right? So in my case, I'm taking out Foden, which in isolation... good player. Is he playing well? Not so much. But Palmer, I'm bringing in because he is a good player and he has been consistent and he's hammering me at the moment as well.
I think it's okay to do it if you're targeting fixtures.
That's right.
But if it's equivalent fixtures, then taking out a good player for a good player is risky because you'd be very, very annoyed if it doesn't pay off.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So Dan the Man is asking a question. So he's got Haaland, Semenyo for Foden. Okay, so he's saying Haaland, Semenyo for Foden to Saka, Palmer, Havertz for free or get Isak, Jackson. I like Havertz long-term fixtures. Never need to take him out. Unlike me, who's taken him out 3 times now. But I like him enough to bring him back in as well. So Foden out, Haaland, don't mind that. I think given you're bringing in Saka Palmer, I would probably go Jackson. Saka Palmer Jackson or Saka Palmer Isak?
Yeah, me too. The only thing to consider is, are we sure that Saka is going to play? Because is he genuinely injured this time? Like, I think it was a genuine injury that he went off with, because why would he go off at one all in the 80th minute if he wasn't genuinely injured? So, and we're not going to really get much much help from Arteta in press conferences. So it would be, yeah, it would be annoying to bring in Saka and then he doesn't play this week, which is, but if you are confident that Saka plays, then I don't mind it. But I agree with you that I would prefer Isak or Jackson over Havertz.
Yeah. I think given that it's Forest as well, I feel like they look defensively, they've been pretty decent.
Until last week.
Yeah, true. True. So, look, I don't know. It's Arsenal at the end of the day. I think it's like picking one of those options. I've got three free transfers as well, but I'm opting to roll one transfer so I can have two going into 13 with the option of bringing in Saka for game week 13 via Haaland, so I can make the double transfer without taking a hit. So, yeah, just something to think about there. We'll leave it there, though. Let me just come out of that. Take that off there. We'll leave it there for the questions. Thank you so much to everyone that has tuned in as well. If you're still watching, thank you for hanging about. If you've just joined, go back and listen. We've had some really good conversation about Andrew's wildcard, my game week 12 bus team as well, and just the fixtures and, you know, our style of play and just a lot of good conversation about life, FPL, everything in between as well. So yeah, please do check out the beginning part of the stream, but also like and subscribe as well. Also check out there's going to be a stream that probably started about 40 minutes ago. We definitely went over in our stream, but yeah, it was sort of expected. There was lots to catch up on as well. But FPL football chat box. Actually, it's not FPL football chat. It's football chat box, and that's Ryan, one of our content creators over here in Australia, is doing their 100th video or stream or episode on their channel. So please do check them out. I'll pop it in the chat. If you haven't sort of ventured that way already, please do check out his channel. But Andrew, you know, any final words and plug for your podcast as well before we wrap up?
I just want to echo what you said about all chatbox and Ryan. He's the hardest working content creator in the country. He's really, really good at what he does. So if you haven't checked him out, definitely go do that now. Our podcast is a lot less professional than Ryan's. So me and Pete have the FPL SideNet podcast that we do every week. We did a new episode yesterday. So check it out if you haven't done that already. We did spend, I think, the first 10 minutes talking about Pizza Hut and Sizzler yesterday. So if you're not
interested,
if you're not interested in that, just skip forward to about the 10 minute mark. And I promise we start talking about FPL after that. But we do tend to get a bit sidetracked sometimes.
No, it was great. Please do check out the podcast. Honestly, there's so much good banter on there. There's Goodwill punting picks, lots of movie puns and good conversation, good vibes in general, and brilliant music in between as well. So yeah, I really do appreciate you guys and the good work that you put into your podcast. Like I've mentioned, one of my favorite podcasts, one of the early ones that I started listening to as well. But look, Andrew, it's been wonderful to have you on the stream as well. I can't believe it's your first time. I'm definitely going to get you and Pete back on, perhaps together as well, to have a good chin wag. But yeah, thank you again. It's been really good to get your insights and your perspectives and some of the picks and, you know, the rationale behind your wildcard drafts especially. Really appreciate your insights for my pick that I need to make as well in the forward spot, my third forward spot. So at the moment, it looks like I'm going to go towards a Pedro or a Welbeck. It could be one or the other. I'm not sure. I'm still a little bit undecided there. But yeah, you've definitely helped me a lot in this conversation.
I think I just muddied the waters, to be honest.
Maybe a tad bit.
I added some confusion. I don't think I helped at all.
It's great. I think it's just having a different perspective, as I mentioned. So yeah, and I really do appreciate it. Andrew, thanks again. Where can everyone find you if they wanted to hook up on socials?
Yep, just FPL_pointbreak on X, and then we have the FPL Side Net podcast, and so there's also the FPL Side Net account on X, which my co-host Pete runs. So yeah, that's where you'll find me. I'm not on Blue Sky yet. I guess I will come across if everyone else does. I don't think I'm going to have a choice. So I think I'll probably be there sooner rather than later as well.
That sounds great. And all the links are in the description as well. So thank you, folks. And thank you so much for tuning in. Please do like and subscribe if you like this type of content. It's really, really been wonderful to have you in the chat as well. Take it easy. Good luck with Game Week 12. And yeah, green arrows all round for all of you. Take care and catch you soon.